Hello and welcome to the Grappling with Fatherhood podcast, a place where we have an honest conversation about parenting, jujitsu, the lessons learned in each, and where they sometimes overlap. My name is Blake Kosmeyer. I am a black belt in Brazilian jujitsu and the father of two small kids. My co-host, as always, is Uday Malhotra.
What's up, everybody? Uday Malhotra here, father of two beautiful little girls and black belt in jujitsu.
Uday, today's topic, we're going to jump ahead a little bit in time. Today's topic is about learning from our mistakes. And you hit me up pretty much the day after we recorded our last episode and said,
I did.
We have a mistake that I need to address in our next episode. No big controversy. And, you know, this was a mistake that was made so deep in the podcast that there is a high likelihood that many people did not hear it. No disrespect to you, our faithful listeners. I'm just saying it was, you know, it was a long ep and it was like towards the end of the episode, but there's something you wanted to address. And, you know,
it is.
I think we should, in the nature of today's episode, which is learning from our mistakes, you wanted to tee it up.
I did. So in our last episode during the snack section, I changed it up. I didn't do a snack. I did like a condiment. I did David Chang's chili oil crunch. And dude, the next day, like not even 24 hours later, David Chang and that chili crunch were embroiled in controversy all over the internet because I guess he is trying to do like trademark infringements on these like small mom and pop companies that are doing their own chili crunch as well. And I believe since that time, he's gotten so much heat. No pun intended. He's gotten so much heat from what he's been doing that he's backed down from continuing this trademark infringement. But like, I just like, it's ridiculous to me because like everything I've heard and read is like, that would be like if someone was like, I'm going to trademark mayonnaise. And nah, you can't do that. It's like, it's a condiment, you know? And so I felt bad about it almost immediately because, you know, I didn't like, look, running your own business is hard enough. And to have like a giant in the industry come after you is, hey, it's, I'm sure that's terrifying for the people who are like trying to get by. Right. But it's also like, it's like, you know, this could crumble their whole business. And so, you know, I also just don't like it when like big corporations try and bully the little guy out of business. You know, like I said, it's hard enough to try and start and run and operate a business as it is. And so, I felt really bad about it. And just want to let our listeners know that I found out about it almost immediately afterwards. And, you know, I also wanted to be authentic, right? I didn't want to, you and I discussed maybe scrubbing it from the episode, but I also want to maintain like a level of authenticity. Like this is what we talked about. And, you know, since we're talking about learning from our mistakes, like I probably should have done a little bit of research ahead of like, you know, there wasn't much out there at the time, but
it's a lighthearted segment in our show. And it's a weird thing to be like, oh wow, that's just a place you didn't expect to catch heat on.
And of all the nonsense I've said here, that's a thing that I'll probably catch heat on.
But I don't think anybody, you know, as far as we know, no one is yet offended, but I appreciate that. Like that you wanted to clarify that. And I'm glad we got it out of the way. Totally. I don't expect you to research every snack that you eat on this show. I really
I'm coming
hope
for you, Trader Joe's. I'm researching everything you got in that store, TJ.
Well, Trader Joe's is embroiled in some controversy. One thing about making content on the internet, Uday, is that at some point I call this, I'm going to be really candid with everybody. I call this the asshole tax. And that is the price you pay for being seen at some point is that like, there's just going to be an asshole and they're going to say something that's terrible and out of pocket. And they're going to like pin you up against something that you are like, oh my God, that's the thing. Like that's the thing. And so I've been getting, somebody hit me up because I had a video. I reposted a video from a year ago, just being like, oh, this came out a year ago about Trader Joe's hummus. And the video has like 3.4 million views. Right. And I just reposted it like, oh, this is happening. And like somebody in the comments.
Is this the one where you're like, how do you open the package?
Yeah.
I love that video.
It's a great video. And somebody in the comments is like, how dare you not show solidarity with Trader Joe's employees who are trying to unionize right now? And I was like, my friend, this video came out a year ago, like, cut me some slack. And then I go to Trader Joe's, and of course I'm like that jabroni in the aisle, like, hey, my comrade, like, how can I help you unionize? Oh my God. And the guys at Trader Joe's look at me like I'm just fucking such a dork. Like, that's not this store, man. That's another store. We're okay here. Just
that's
get
really
your trail
funny.
Mix and get out the door.
I thought the story was going to end much differently. I thought you were going to be like, they noticed me in Trader Joe's. They recognized me. They chased me out of there.
No. I would, you know. Fine. I'm fine when it comes to that. I have been recognized in Trader Joe's, but luckily it's always been positive.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, lesson learned, right? Actually, I think you actually did warn me. I had last week.
We talked about it a little. I was like, oh, there's some controversy around it. Because there have been, I know there was a little bit of controversy, but I just, you know, it wasn't enough for us, I think, to be like, ah.
Yeah. God dang it. I should have listened. It's so funny because like literally the next day, my For You page on TikTok was flooded with David Chang like talk. Yeah. And
oh man. Other than that,
how you feeling, man? Well, how are you doing?
I'll be honest, man, I've been a little depressed probably the past 2 weeks, man. I just, with my new job, it's and we could talk about this, it's good for today's topic about learning from mistakes. Like, I'll admit right now, like, I'm not great at this job, and it is not a skill set that I would ever come out and say like, oh, I'm really good at this. Like, anybody who's worked with me closely would be like, hey, this is not like, here are the things that Blake does well, and this would never be on the list. That said, it was a good opportunity and my family needed this. And so like, I was receptive to it, and I was like, I'm going to step up and we're going to try it. So there's just a learning curve. And like, my attitude towards that is really just like, I'm very like, I actually, the episode three episodes ago, I think you said that you had a boss that said like, you got to drive your own car. And I like was thinking about that a lot. Like, I'm new at this job. And so I've been like, it's confusing and there's a lot going on. And I did not receive great training when I came on. The guy who was, it was actually kind of contentious and weird.
I remember you saying,
I mean, nice guy who came on. It was just bad, or who was transitioning off. He was just transitioning off on bad terms with my employer. And so it was just not smooth. And so there's a lot of learning on the job just because of the very nature of what I'm doing. And because of that, I just make a lot of mistakes, and I'm not used to making a lot of mistakes professionally. I'm really used to being the guy who's in the pocket, and they come to me and they're like, yo, you know, Harvey Keitel in fucking Pulp Fiction, you know, the wolf is here, you know, like, oh shit, you didn't tell me you were calling the wolf. You know what I mean? Like, that's the role I'm used to playing. And I very much don't feel like that where I'm at right now.
But didn't you say this job is not totally in your wheelhouse? You're kind of stepping outside your comfort zone a little bit, right?
Yeah. And
I think we have to go through those moments in order to be the wolf, right? The wolf doesn't wake up and he's the wolf.
Right, right.
The wolf had to kind of go through hellfire and brimstone to become the wolf. How did you get your black belt? You didn't wake up and roll out of bed and say, I'm good at jiu-jitsu. And you had to get tapped a lot, man.
That's an important point. And we'll talk about this later in the episode too, why it's difficult here. I mean, one thing is that like, I'm 40 and like, I was a badass doing something else and coming over here doing something that I don't really want to do and not being a badass at it and almost like not giving it the respect it deserved. You know what I mean? Like being like, this is going to be easy. No problem. And be like, oh, wow, this is actually kind of not easy. So like there's that going on. And then like, jiu-jitsu has been rough. I've been mostly training at home or like at an open mat, and I'm missing the social aspect of just like connecting with a group of people in a way. You know, I really miss Saturday mornings. It's been two Saturdays that I missed. And, I just miss going to class, like normal class, you know, I'm really fortunate, privileged to have a, you know, basically mats in my house that I can use. And it's nice to have friends come over, but it's not the same experience as being feeling like really part of a community. So I'm missing that. Yeah. I'll just lay it all out. We got a new car recently, a new used car, still the nicest thing I've ever bought. And this week I was pulling out of the driveway and I fucking dinged up the front of the car, and it's not, it's not bad, but it's also like, damn, like that sucks. And I was like, and dude, Becca's such a baller. Like she like buffed out the scratch and like everything was, you know, it looks totally fine now. But like for me, I was like, oh man, this is why we can't have nice things. Like I was just like, it was just everything, you know, you're not good at your job. You're not able to show up to jiu-jitsu the way you want to. Like you're going to get Chipotle with your kid and you can't even do that right. You know, it was just like everything in that moment. Oh man. Yeah. And so, I'm very much feeling like the mistakes are happening and I'm waiting for the lesson right now. Like, you know,
fuck man, that's a lot. I'm sorry,
it's
dude.
A lot of little things, it's a lot. Dude, like in general, it's life is death good by thousand but paper like cuts. You know,
no man, like you're allowed to feel the way you feel by when you're experiencing death by a thousand paper cuts, right? Like it sucks, man, you know. And man, I'm sorry you're going through that.
That's all good, dude. I mean, it's not all good, but thank you for being there for me and acknowledging that and allowing me the space to tell you that I'm not doing good.
You know, by next week, next month, 2 months down the line, all this stuff will be like a distant memory.
100%.
You'll be back to training. You're not even going to think about the scratch that Becca buffed out. Yeah. You know, you'll probably have a better handle on the work stuff. You know, so, man, like, you know.
Just gotta weather.
What my point is.
Gotta weather the storm, dude. Weather the storm. So that said, do you want to have a little bit of catharsis? Do you want to grind gears for a moment, and then we'll get to the episode? All right.
I'll do a little gear grinding.
What is grinding your gears this week, Uyeh?
Man, I'm grumpy. You know, I've been in a jiu-jitsu slump, and I just got word that one of my favorite training partners is out for like 6 months. You and I spoke. You're going to need to take some time out, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And one of my other favorite training partners, right? And my jiu-jitsu is like been slumping a little bit lately. And I've also been kind of eating like shit. I just feel like I need to turn it around.
Yeah.
Right? Like I just need a spark to turn it around. And so it's all of that is making me grumpy.
Yeah.
Very grumpy. Ah, man, I'm sorry. Our listeners are probably like, Debbie Downer, man, what's going on with Blake and Uday? Yeah. But no, it gets better, guys. Don't worry. the episode gets
better. It does. It'll get better. It'll get more cheerful. Yeah. I'll turn this around. What grinds your gears, I will give you a story of like things that make me happy or turning lemons into lemonade.
I like it.
The tree in our backyard, we have this giant lemon tree in our backyard, and our landlord pays for our gardener to come once every other week, which is awesome. And he must have missed that, like, this tree in our backyard split in half. Basically under the weight of all of the lemons that are on it. It's this massive lemon tree. And We also have had storms, so I wouldn't, he's yeah. really good at what he does. I don't think he's like slacking or anything. And so we go out there and I see this and I'm like, oh shit. Well, and I ping my landlord. He's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, you know, Jose was just out here. I don't want you to like bring him back out here. Like, let's just let it go on a week or whatever. And then yeah. we had the idea that like, well, why don't we just pull some of the fruit off of it just because there's so much of it on there and it'll like, you know, free it up a little bit. And so we take the fruit and like, literally it's just like, there's so much, dude. Like if you have a lemon tree and you live in California, it is yeah. it's a job. Uday has a lemon tree in his backyard.
I do.
And I feel like I'm always trying to be like asking people, hey, do you need lemons? Do you need lemons? Whatever. And so, dude, we pull out like 7 big grocery bags just full of lemons. And Miss Rosa next door, she sometimes has a little wheelbarrow that she puts lemons in and says, take the lemons or whatever. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh, that's cute, man. Nobody takes those fucking lemons. And you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that shit must yeah. just sit out there yeah. and that's nice. And Miss Rosa just throws them in the compost bin, but she feels good about herself. That's great. So I take these 7 bags of lemons and I put a sign in yeah. the front yard that just says free lemons. Uday, they were not out there 45 minutes before they were all gone. It was
like you texted me this morning yeah. and you were like, hey, do you need lemons? Or no, you have a lemon tree. And then like I responded to you a little bit later. And I think by the time I responded to you, the lemons were vamoosed.
Gone, dude. And it was just like, I was like, I felt so good about people, man. I was like, oh, yeah. this is so good. Like I should be giving people yeah. lemons all the time. Like, this is amazing. If this is one thing I could do to make people happy, dude, our mailman took a bag of lemons.
Great.
Dude, how many times has the mailman come to your house and just drop shit off? Today he took something from my house back to his house.
Nice.
Anyway, so hopefully that's the opposite of grinding gears.
It's starting the gears. Have you ever cooked with your lemons? Have you ever made anything with them?
I mean, besides lemonade, no.
So we use the lemons in our backyard to make like a lemon custard pie once.
Oh, okay.
So good.
Really?
So good. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So I'm if anybody here has good lemon recipes,
yeah,
send them our way.
I don't know. I was like, what are you people doing? What do you know about lemons that I don't know about? Exactly. All right, man. Let's jump into that day's episode now that we're like 20 minutes in.
Yeah,
dude. Okay. So this week we are going to be talking about, we already had talked about learning from our mistakes. Specifically, we'll start this off by talking about learning from our mistakes in jiu-jitsu. You know, what mistakes have you made in training that you learned from? And also, now that we're kind of higher belts, like what mistakes do we make now and how do we address them? Yeah. So Uday, why don't you tell me about maybe some mistakes you made at a lower belt?
Yeah, man. So, you know, when I was starting out in jiu-jitsu, when I was first coming up, I just wanted to wrestle everybody. You know, I have a wrestling background and like, I was like, oh, I can hang with the purple belts. I can hang with the brown belts as long as I just wrestle them. But like, to me, in retrospect, that was such a foolish mistake because then I'm just wrestling. You know, like why do jiu-jitsu? In fact, I should have been hunting submissions, right? Like, and so I feel right now I'm playing a little bit of catch up on some of my submission game because of that, right? Because I was using this like using almost the crutch of wrestling to like dominate positions versus like, and letting the round end, right? Like dominate positions and let the round end. And as opposed to just like, okay, I have position, how do I stabilize the position and end this and restart and do it again, right? So I think if I could go back, that's probably what I would do. I would hunt submissions more and be a lot less reliant on positional dominance.
Yeah, that really,
what about yourself?
That really resonates with me, actually. So I started competing a lot at blue belt. I competed once at yeah. white belt, and then I started competing a lot at blue belt. And I became very focused on winning competitions. And so my jiu-jitsu yeah. now is very, I'm really good at getting up 3 or 5 points and being up yeah. 3 or 5 points. Yeah. I'm good at getting up 2 to 5 points. I'll even say that. Like I, and just yeah. sitting there and being up, you know? And I think that my kind of like my kill instinct isn't as strong as somebody who's maybe just like a mat enforcer, like somebody who's just a beast on the mats. And so now, like, you know, I get swept. I'm like, I don't care. I get swept. Like I'll no problem sweep you and pass you again. Like no problem. You know, I'm really confident in that. And it's like, no, man, like, you know, Chris Howder's four rules of jiu-jitsu, right? Be on top. Rule number two, stay on top. Rule number three, have an impassable guard. Rule number four, beware of
rule number one.
Yeah, or it's beware of the seductive nature of guard, and remember rule number one, right?
Yeah.
So like, and like, I very much am seduced by the guard and the idea of playing positional jiu-jitsu instead of like going for the kill. And I think that's something that like I also, like, I'm a nice guy, and there was a problem for me at like blue belt where like my professor had to be like, hey man, you're too nice, you're playing too nice. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, he's like, you gotta start fucking, he's like, I know you have it in you, like, you know everything, and you're getting in the positions, and then you're just not like following through. And so I
see, you're not nice to me.
That's true.
You're not nice to me.
Well, that's, I mean,
we go to war.
I feel like that's out of respect almost. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, you absolutely.
I can't, as your friend and your training partner, I can't give you bad training.
No, bro, I expect nothing less. In fact, I'd be pissed if you were being too nice to me.
And I will say,
you
know that,
I mean? If you were being nice to me.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this on episodes, I think the last episode or the one, maybe the one before, is that since you have been submission focused, it's been a lot. It's been, you've been submitting me a lot. Just, I'll just say that. Like, it's been like, oh man, okay, cool. Like, this is, yeah, it's good. I can tell that something has shifted in your training. So that's a good lesson, man.
I wonder if that's why I'm slumping. I wonder if I'm slumping right now because I'm really challenging myself to change my game. No, I think it's that, and because I'm eating like shit right now. I think it's both. I think it's time to revisit the cauliflower rice and salad diet.
Oh, man. Yeah. yeah. Fiber and gas, man. That's how it is over here. So as a black belt, you know, what kind of mistakes do you feel like you've made, or have you learned from them?
Yeah, man. I think, actually, ironically enough, I think now I don't wrestle enough.
Yeah.
And I think because part of it's like, A, wrestling is hard, and like, you know, I don't have to, right? Like, I feel comfortable, like, you know, I don't know, just grabbing someone and going, you know, and also we train in my backyard, and I don't feel great about throwing people in, like, and having them accidentally land on the concrete here. So, I should probably wrestle more, but you know, I think, and I don't really look at this as a mistake now, but I think I purposely now, and I kind of just alluded to this, I try and do things that are outside my wheelhouse and put myself in bad positions. And like I said, I don't think about that as a mistake. I think about that more as forcing myself out of my comfort zone to get better.
Yeah.
Right. Like really putting myself in, like, you know, if I'm going with a purple belt or blue belt who I know I'm going to be able to beat well in like a training round, I'm probably going to let them start in like side control, or let them start like, and you know, I know as I'm saying it out loud, they may feel some kind of way about it. But the reality is if we've rolled enough, they know that like, okay, if we're starting from our feet, we're starting from our knees, Uday usually, you know, this usually ends out a certain way. Yeah. Right. And so, I think it's better for both of us laying them. We both have something to learn and gain from the round if I let someone who I usually dominate start in a dominant position.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And like, you know, if they tap me, who cares? Like, great. Good job. Let's reset and do it again. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of, sort of tangential, but like, my old professor Homolo, he had a rib injury, that he got at, Masters Worlds, I think. And he slow coming back. Ribs are the worst. They take forever. And, it was a time when like I was, questionably employed. And so my mornings were slow, and I'd come in for the morning class, right? So like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I'd roll. No, this is, oh man. Okay. Sorry. I just remembered. So it was a 7 a.m. class. I had an 8 a.m. call every morning. And so I would, and of course, like it's a 7 a.m. class, which means it didn't start. This is a very Brazilian gym. So class didn't start till 7:10, which means, you know, we didn't start rolling live until, you know, what, 7:40, 7:45. And so by the time I have to take that call, like shit's just getting good, you know? And so I had to step off the mat, and there was this little patio in the back, and I would be there in my gi, on a call with, I'm not going to say the consultancy, but it was a very large consultancy, and I had an important role, and I would just sit on the call. Yeah. And it was one of these calls where like, we're on the phone with India, with the UK, with England, New York, and everybody just has like, it's a status call. So you just say your one sentence and then you move on. And my one sentence kind of every week was like, oh, like, you know, everything's fine or whatever it is, you know.
So no updates, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So
nothing on my end.
Yep. All good here. And so I'd be at jiu-jitsu, step off the mat, be like on speaker. And then as soon as I said my thing, I'd be back on the mat. Yeah. And then my professor was like, you know, what are you doing after this? I'm like, nothing, you know, like really. And so he and I would just train for like, because I was trying to get more roles in because I had to get off the mat for that call. And so he and I would just train, you know, no clock or whatever, no rounds, just open for whatever while he was getting better. And I was like a blue belt, purple belt, I think. And there were times when like I got him, like not like got him good.
Yeah.
There were times when, like I got a takedown or like a sweep. Yeah. Or like something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he rocked me, right? But he was still coming back from an injury. And so there were times when I was just like, I got a few things. And he said to me, on like one of those days where it was like particularly good on my part, he's just said, you'll never forget this. Like, you'll never forget the time you swept me. You'll never forget the time that like you almost passed. You'll never forget the time that you gave me a hard time. And like, as a black belt, like you have the opportunity to make somebody else feel like that. And he's right. Totally. I never forget that, like those days, because there's no way in hell I would get close to that with him now. Like he's so good, but anyways, you get the idea. So yeah, that's what you're providing those lower belts, that opportunity to say, oh wow, I will never forget the day that I almost did this thing. Yeah.
Oh man, that's true.
Yeah.
You know what? That reminds me, there's certain people I can never let get a position on me. I can never. I'll die before I give them the sweep.
Oh man.
Just because I don't want to hear it from them weeks later, months later, a year later.
Quickly in this section, I wanted to talk about what I think are like the two types of mistakes that people make in jiu-jitsu. There are there are like the micro mistakes, and there are like the macro mistakes. For me, you know, the micro mistakes, like just for me, it was getting darced from bottom half. I got darced and guillotined from bottom half over and over and over again. It's a little mistake, leaving my neck out, you know, while I'm diving for the underhook or while I'm like, you know, and it was like, I remember there was one time I got tapped like three times in a round by the same guillotine doing that. And so like, there's that, there's, you know, there's not respecting certain submissions, right? Like, that's a lesson you really only have to learn once. Anybody like who got the welcome to brown belt toe hold and, you know, popped your foot, you know, like, then you're like, oh shit, I got to respect this. And then there are like the macro mistakes. And I think the macro mistakes are the one that like micro mistakes are easy to learn from. They're part of the process. They're like the little things that are like, that's kind of what makes jiu-jitsu fun, right? Is like, oh cool, like this happened today. But like the macro mistakes are like things that are like maybe more philosophical. So like treating every role like it matters, right? And like you do that for long enough, you're either going to get injured or you're going to get so discouraged that you're never going to want to come back, right? Another big one I think is not learning from your mistakes in tournaments. So tournaments are really hard. And in the gym, your A game probably rocks everybody. And so when you go to the tournament, and you try your A game and it gets shut down, you think it's because of something that happened, some weird circumstance. And so you don't really think too much about like, oh, what are the exact errors? You're like, nah, fuck that. That was just a weird day on my A game. My A game is still good. And you refuse to see the errors of your ways because in the gym, that part of your game works so well. I've seen that happen to like a few people.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen to myself.
Yeah.
Where I've played the same game over and over again, didn't learn from it because it was still rocking everybody in the gym.
You have to evolve.
And then like other sort of macro mistakes are not using every role as an opportunity to get better. And like what I mean by that is that like not respecting lower belts, and then also almost fearing or respecting higher belts too much. So when I was a lower belt, yeah. You know, and I would roll with a higher belt, there were times when I would kind of like limp noodle them, or like I would play a really reactive game instead of imposing my game, you know?
Yeah.
And then again, with lower belts, it's like, it's when you see that, like that blue belt, or whatever, and you're like, that's probably not going to be, this isn't going to be the role that I learned from today. And it's like, well, it could be, it's not going to be with that attitude, you know? So those are just kind of like little ones.
Yeah. It's a great point. I think, it reminds me of a moment when I was either a blue or purple belt, and I was rolling with a black belt who's visiting from another school in the same system. Does that make sense? Like, so I was like,
yeah,
I came up with like Paragon. He was from a different Paragon school.
Yeah.
And he was like, kind of, you know, he's a little bit unathletic, but really good jiu-jitsu, right? And I was rolling with him, and he stopped me mid-round, and he was like, you're not giving me everything you have right now. You're not rolling hard, and that's disrespectful. And in my head, it made sense what he said, right? Like, he's like, I'm rolling like I think he can't beat me. And in my, like, I know he can beat me. Why am I not giving him everything? Yeah. I should be like clawing for every position, every submission I can find, right? And so I'm glad he told me that. And that little moment right then and there, like kind of what you alluded to earlier, like when you tap a black belt, they don't remember, but when they tap you, sorry, when you tap a black belt, you're not a black belt. They don't remember, but you will. He will never remember this advice he gave me because it was like nothing to him. For me at the time, it was huge. And I still talk about it today, like to other people, right? Like, don't, like, just because you're bigger than me, don't take it easy on me. That makes me think you can beat me. Let's go hard.
Yeah.
Let's roll hard. You know what I mean? So, anyway, your story there resonated with me in that regard.
Nice. Yeah. I had one question for you, actually. I wrote this down before we got here, but, do you ever see students making mistakes that they can't see themselves, you know?
And
then like, how do you, I mean, I guess that's the role of being a good instructor. So how do you address that? Like diplomatically or like, how do you make them see the mistake that they're making?
So that's a great question. One thing, and you've been to my classes before, so you know kind of how I operate. I'm hoarse right now in my voice because I just finished teaching class tonight. And so I'm very vocal in my classes, right? Like I don't really subscribe to the rule of just like kind of quietly watching, right? Like I walk around and I'm screaming at people. And one of the things I do is when I see someone making a mistake, I'll yell at them, get the underhook with your left hand right now. And so boom, it becomes natural. Oh, fuck, there's the left underhook, right? Like they'll go into it right then and there. Now that's for like, you know, making a micro mistake, right? If they're making a more macro mistake, to your earlier point, and they're just like not understanding how to get out of side control, like it's beyond just moving their hands and their legs, right? It's more like conceptually, what are you doing here? So in those circumstances, that's when I pull them aside and be like, hey, we really got to talk about your side control escapes, right? Let's break it down. What are you doing and what should you be doing? And beyond that, if it takes more than like a 10-minute conversation, dude, just book an hour with me. Book an hour with me so we can hammer this thing out. Or, you know, and if they're like, all right, professor, I can't. I'm like, all right, I'm going to readdress this. I'm going to circle back to this in a couple weeks. Make sure you're here for that class, right? Like,
yeah.
Because like you got to, right? These conceptually, you have to learn the fundamentals, right? Because they ladder up to everything, yeah. Right? It's great if you can learn how to do the backwards flying upside down chimichanga. But if you can't get out of, like, if you can't conceptually figure out how to get out of a mount,
yeah.
You're going to have a really hard time, right? So that's kind of my approach, right? Like for the micro stuff, shout it out to them live, yeah. As I see it. For the macro stuff, like, hey, let's talk, you and I. Like, let's sort this thing out.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend and training partner who's a brown belt who is very he's very open about his insecurities around his brown belt right now, at least with me, and he has been with other people. And like part of those are like the fundamentals. He's scrappy. He's tough. He's strong. And there are like – four things that he does at, like, I would say maybe even a black belt level, but then there's a lot of his jiu-jitsu that's like at a blue belt level, and he's like and he's insecure about it, you know what I mean? He's like, oh man, I don't know. And like fundamentals around escaping side controls, like, it's funny, it's one of them that we talk about. And I think that's another instance of like, man, you get really good at one thing and it's hard not to do that thing.
You have to experiment and play with the positions that you suck at.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
And that's just a life lesson, right? Like, you know, you have to work on the things that you don't enjoy, because at some point or another, you're going to be called upon for that, right? Like, I don't know. That's kind of just how I approach things, right? Like if you hate public speaking, well, at some point you probably should try and get a little bit comfortable with it, because you're going to be called upon at some point in your life.
A wedding or a funeral. Right? It's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit, man. Mistakes as a parent. It's like, God, where do we start? But yeah, man, if there's things you feel comfortable with talking about, like, you know, what mistakes have you made as a parent and how did you address them?
Yeah, man. You know, one of the biggest mistakes I made, you know, this was a few years ago. So like a couple of jobs ago, I was working a really high pressure, intense job in that agency. And dude, I was, you know, I have three kind of pillars that I look at in life that I need to maintain in order to maintain happiness, right? Pillar number one is my family. I have to make sure that I'm doing right by my daughters and my wife, right? Make sure that I'm doing right by them. Pillar number two is my health and my fitness, right? Like right now, that's struggling a little bit, right? But that's a major pillar of my life. Things keep me happy. Pillar number three is my career, right? As we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, that's struggling right now at the moment as well, right? And so
I think we're starting to understand a little bit why you're feeling grumpy, Uday.
Yeah, exactly. So if my philosophy is, if one of those pillars is starting to crumble, then all three are struggling, right?
Interesting.
Like what? No matter how hard you try, if you're failing at one, you're failing at keeping the building up.
Yeah.
Right. And so
interesting.
Because now more pressure's on the other two pillars, right? And so in this job that
that's a way to look at it.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna challenge this.
Challenge it.
Not now. I'm gonna let you finish. Okay. I'm gonna let you finish.
Okay.
Afterwards I'm gonna invite you to think about this in a different way. And
okay, then, cool.
Yeah, let me know.
No, that's great. I like that. All right, cool. So anyway, during that time, I was really putting a lot of work in at work, and I was not paying attention to the other two important aspects of my life. And, you know, I what did I learn from this, and how did I address it, man? Is like, you know, I addressed it by really taking my work-life balance into my own hands, right? Like you have to. And that's kind of what I learned, right? Like it's my responsibility. And we've talked about this before on the show, right? Like responsibility versus whose fault is it?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It's my responsibility to make time for the important things in my life, because no one else is going to do that for me. No job is going to sit down and be like, hey, Uday, are you paying attention to your work-life balance? Like, no, nobody's going to do that for me.
Yeah.
Right. It's up to me to really figure out ways to carve that out. And that's kind of what I learned there. Right. And so like, I read an article that like broke my heart, and, it really made me rejigger the way I think about what work-life balance should be and how to really take ownership of it. And it was this article written by this guy who started an ad agency. And he had two twins. And I say had because one of them passed away.
Oh, it's
and terrible. It heartbreaking. Yeah, totally heartbreaking. And he realized to himself, he's like, you know, I'm leading this huge team and I do one-on-ones with my team. In the aftermath, of course, like much in the aftermath of his son passing away, he's like, I don't do that with my kid, right? Like with my living son. And I never did that with my boys, right? Like I need to put as much energy into what I'm doing with my family that I am at work.
Yeah.
And it really forced me to be like, you know, like I need to take a step back, divide up my time a little bit better. So to answer your question, the mistake I made was not intentionally, but like almost unintentionally leaning too much into work and neglecting my family and my fitness and my health. And the learning there was like, no, it's up to me to figure out how to make all three pillars stand on their own. Tell me your feedback on that you're thinking.
If that works for you, I think you mm-hmm. should run with it. If you get down with yourself on that, my friend Richard, CEO and yeah. founder of Fluid Nutrition, sponsor of this podcast.
Great guy.
He told me this thing once. It's very simple. Richard was like raised Catholic. And so he is like always has these things that like some church person has been saying for like 50 years. That's just like super clever. And you're like, oh, that's right. That makes sense. And he's like, look, if you sit, everybody wants to be an A student across the board. Everybody wants to have, like, you sit down at the end of the day and you want on your report card to say, I was an A father today. I was an A, worker today. I was an A athlete today. I was an A husband today. Keep running that list. Mm-hmm. Keep running that list. Like, write down all of the roles that you're supposed to do. And then ask yourself, like, do you really expect yourself to get an A, like straight A's every single day in every single one of those categories? No. Some days you're going to be a C worker. Some days you're going to be a D athlete. Some days, and that's because on that day you were an A father. And
yeah,
like when you sit down and look at the report card, right? Like everybody wants straight A's every day. But you understand that getting straight A's every day, if you can write down all of your roles, is unrealistic.
That's a great point. And I think if you look at it, you're right. If you look at it on a day-by-day basis,
yeah,
you'll lose your mind, to your point, right? You'll lose your mind if you try and be perfect in everything on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what I'm talking about is zooming out, right? Like if I look at the totality of what's going on in my month – and in my month, I've only spent like 20% of my time with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and 60% of it at work. And then like 20% on the other stuff. Something's not working there, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But so if I zoom out and I, at the end of the year, can say I was a D as a father and an A as a worker and a B as an athlete. Like, nope, that doesn't work, right? Like, yeah. I think at the end of the year, when I look at the report card, I think that's where I want to see like the straight A's.
I think you could have straight A's across a year and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, I think like, yeah, like it's the same way school is graded, right? Like you're not graded every single day when you leave school, you're graded at the end of the semester. And
you look at the totality of the body of work, right?
Exactly. And I think that like, that might be why it's helpful to look at that report card at the end of the day, some days, because you're like able to say, oh man, I need to step it up tomorrow in this category.
Yeah.
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 But also that's recognizing great. That you knocked it out of the park where you did knock it out of the park, you know? Yeah.
I appreciate the perspective and the challenge.
I hope that was helpful. Like it. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. What about you, man? What mistakes come to your mind?
Yeah. Mistakes in parenting. Share? I mean, so I'm blessed to have an awesome wife and co-parent. And I think that like early days, man, I thought I either had all the answers or had no answers. So I thought that either Becca was not necessarily doing it wrong, but like I knew how to do it. Or I thought like I totally didn't know how to do it at all. And Becca knew everything, right? Because whatever reason. And like what I've learned is that it's like, it's we both have all of the answers, honestly. We just have different ways of communicating some of those answers. And I think that, you know, within you, you're, and to that point is that like, there are plenty of times when you think you don't have the answer, but you know what, if you sit in the room for five more minutes, you're going to figure it out. And part of that is comes from this advice that my friend Dan told me, which is just dumb, but funny. We had a friend that was having a baby, and that friend asked for advice, and Dan said, "It's always your turn." And he was like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, when you're sitting there and you go in your head, like the baby just pooped in its diaper and you're going, is it my turn or is it her turn? It's your turn.
Nah, it's your turn.
It's your turn. Yeah. And like, you know, like everything, you know, like washing the bottles, is it her turn or is it my turn? You know what, dude? It's your turn.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
If you have the time and the wherewithal to sit there and be like calculating over, should I tell her, that woman on the couch, that she needs to get up off the couch and go do this thing for me that I'm standing next to that I can do? If there's literally a shitty diaper in front of me and I'm gonna sit here and be like, wait, is it my turn or is it your turn? You know what I mean? It's your Just turn.
It. Yeah.
And
that's great advice.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, dude, it's worked wonders for me. And there are times when you could be playful with it, and you know what I mean? And you could say, like, you know, there's going to be situations where it's not like that. But when you're in it, you know, and don't feel terrible about yourself if you have that thought of, like, is it her turn or my turn? But also know that, like, it's your turn. just it's going to make your life so much easier.
Yeah. Totally. I like that advice a lot.
Yeah. Like if, you know, I think about this. I thought about this week, dude, because this is more about mistakes than my marriage. Is like I was doing something and I noticed that I was just getting lazy. Like I was just getting lazy. Like I used to have this thing about like I never would put a dish in the sink. Like I would always wash the dish because I usually just, you know, I'll eat with one dish, right? Always wash my pan. Like I at least wipe out the pan while it's still hot so that it doesn't get like residue, you know, like
it's congeal.
You know, like things like that, like that I just always used to do. And I was just like noticing myself slipping. And I was like, dude, what are you just going to like? I was just imagining my plate, like just pushing stuff off of my plate and onto Becca's plate in my head. And I'm like, dude, this is going to be for the rest of your life. Like you give this up now, what you think you're going to start doing it in 2 months? No. You're going to start doing less. So anyways,
That's really good advice.
And the other thing I was going to say is just like communicate and over communicate. And there's no such thing as over communication. So what's helped us a lot is just like, even just having a nightly debrief about like, man, like I noticed he did this today, or I noticed he did this today. And like, what did you think about that? Or like, how are you feeling about all of this stuff? What's on your mind right now about parenting? Like you can't communicate enough when it comes to that stuff. And
I agree.
It's
You know, we try and do that on a nightly basis too. However, this month, the month of April is usually really brutal for us because Van is in the midst of writing this huge grant for work. And it's like such an undertaking. And so she has to do it during, like she has work during the day. And then in the evenings, she spends like all night writing this grant. Wow. And it's like, she'll be up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then like, you know, it takes a toll on her health. And so she gets sick and she's working through it. I'm like, I feel so bad. So like, I'm really hoping that that as she gets through this, a job comes through so I can take her on like a really dope trip somewhere.
Yeah.
But I digress. The reason I say that is because, I mean, I agree. We communication like that, those like wrap ups at the end of the night are so like important and nice because like, you know, she'll see things that the girls did that I didn't and vice versa. And it's like, we get to share that together, right? Like, hey, Milena today did X, Y, and
yeah,
Z.
Dude.
And it was so funny. Check out this video, right? Like, or like, hey, you know, I saw the email from the school. Are we good at that? Like, you know, just a little catch up stuff.
Yeah. And I think that like, yeah, it's so good. Cause it's easy to just like sit on your couch and like, especially doing what I do, like, you know, turn off the bad screen, turn on the good screen and like tune out, you know? Yeah. But being able to share those moments with your partner is really awesome. If you don't have a partner, this is probably a lot of people listening to this don't have a partner. You know, I think communicating with yourself is also very important. And like, what do I mean by that? And like, that's taking time for yourself at the end of the day to check in, to think about the things that were, you know, the wins, the highs, the lows, and kind of just assess how you're feeling about all of that stuff. If you don't have a co-parent, I think you can still communicate with yourself and take a moment to check in about everything that you went through in the day. Because when you're in it as a parent, part of the hard thing for me, like right off the bat, was there's just no time to process. Is that everything happens. It's especially in the stage we're in right now, and it probably just accelerates, is that there's just so much demanded of you in real time that you don't even have a second to like, after the crazy traumatic thing happens, you have this kid like screaming in front of you because like they, I don't know, dropped a pot on their foot or something, and then like you, as soon as you address that, then they're totally stoked and happy, and then there's just so much going on that you don't really have time to sit down and be like, okay, how am I feeling? Because that's like almost like a distraction in a way from like dealing with
taking inventory of the situation, right?
Dealing with the immediate thing in front of you. So if you're a single parent, you have time and space at the end of the day to debrief, even if you're just laying in bed rattling off this stuff, it's important to give yourself the space to like think about everything that happened.
Totally. 100%.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, man. What do you see coming down the pipe with your kids that you're worried about that you may make a mistake with?
Yeah. So this is like kind of heavy, but like my dad and I don't have a great relationship. We're working on it. And we're getting better, but, my dad and I had a good relationship. I mean, he was, you know, my parents are divorced. I saw my dad every other weekend. So it wasn't like he was, you know, right down the street. He lived like 70 miles away from me, and then I would spend summers with him. And, he put a lot of effort in when I was younger, and he was really good at being a dad to a young kid. And I can see it now with my sons, he's really good at like that age, connects the kids, is a fun guy, like gets it, you know? And then I think he has a really hard time relating to me and now my sister as adults, as they've grown up. And I noticed that kind of throughout my teenage years, my later teenage years, where it's just like, man, there's just distance there. And my dad just let it go, you know? That's something that I'm worried about, because I would love to have a good, obviously adult relationship with my kids. And I know that my dad feels that. Like, I know that it's something that makes him sad. And so that's just something I'm trying to learn from him. To be like, okay, how can I be better? Because now, like, honestly, the onus is on me to sort of rebuild that relationship with him, because he doesn't know how to.
So, man, honestly, same.
Damn.
Same.
Okay.
You know, it makes me wonder, like, I always used to think it was kind of just me. So this is going to sound weird, because it's a bad situation for me, right? But like, I'm glad it's not just me, you know, like,
yeah.
And I don't mean to like say that I'm glad you're experiencing that too, but like, it sounds like this might be kind of a common thing maybe where like parents lose touch with who their kids are as they grow up because like, you know, because you grow and you become a different person, you know, you're not like who you were when you were eight. And same thing with my parents, right? Like I found myself getting more and more distant from them as I gotten older, and I feel that gap closing a little bit now that the kids are, you know, they're old enough to like be excited to hang out with them. And I hope to have a really strong relationship with my daughters when they're older as well.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, you know, almost exactly what you said applies to my kind of relationship with my parents too. Like,
yeah,
my parents are still together, but like everything else, like almost the exact same.
Huh. That's interesting, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it's good that we're aware of it now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Totally.
Is there anything else that you're nervous about coming down the,
you know, it kind of bleeds into this, right? Like, you know, as they get older, you know, them getting an attitude and like, it's already kind of starting to happen. And I just, you know, I don't know how to articulate this. I'm not the poet you are, Blake. I don't want to get frustrated with their, like, the way they experience life and them growing up, right? Part of that is like getting annoyed with your parents, right? Part of that is having a attitude about like random weird things. And part of that is like, you know, and I think part of the reason my parents and I had a wedge kind of in between us is because they weren't as empathetic about those situations,
yeah.
right? They didn't know how to talk about it. And so I hope I do a better job at that with my kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a cliche, but as we become parents, we start to humanize our parents and understand that they're just humans, right? And the mistakes they made were part of just them learning, just like we're learning, right?
Yeah.
And so now the onus, like you said, right? Exactly how you said, the onus is on us to learn from those mistakes, right? That's part of how our parents teach us is by us learning from their mistakes,
yeah.
right? Not just the things they teach us, the lessons they actually physically teach us, right? Like, or show us, right? Like, it's the things that we learn from the mistakes that the previous generations made. And so I hope I take that into account. Does that make sense?
Did totally I just make ramble? Sense. No, make sense? No, that okay. makes sense. Yeah. I think we're on the same page, man. Okay. So shifting gears a little bit. How do we take, so I guess, you know, in that sense, we're kind of learning from the mistakes of our parents, you know? How do you take the idea of learning from mistakes into other aspects of your life?
You know, I've always, not always, but like there was a good chunk of time where I'd just been afraid to make mistakes, right? Because like, you know, you don't want to look bad because there are consequences to making mistakes, right? You look foolish. Right. And at certain points in your life, looking foolish is like worse than death. Right. Like, so you look foolish, right? You in jiu-jitsu, you lose the round if you make a mistake. Right. And like, you know, a blue belt me could never. No, fuck that. Right. And, or you look bad at work, right? Like all these potential like consequences of making mistakes. And I think on the flip side of that is an opportunity to really sharpen something and get better, right? If you make a mistake and you let that mistake live as a mistake, then you have failed, right?
Yeah.
But if you make a mistake and you learn from it, you have no longer failed. You've grown, right? And so, you know, I think it's just about how do you avoid making mistakes, right? It's like making informed decisions. And if you're wrong, so be it, right? Like you make an informed decision, you learn from it, you grow from it, or you're right, right? Like in work, I lean on a lot of data-driven decision-making. Why am I making this decision? Well, I'm looking at the data, right? And I think we can apply that to everything in life, right? So What is historicals tell me about why I should make X decision, right? And
yeah.
Kind of going back to the idea of parents, right? Like, okay, I have data on the fact that if I freak out about my kids doing X, Y, or Z, this is going to potentially drive a wedge between them and I as they age. How can I learn from that, right? So I think it's just making decisions based on historical information and data.
Yeah.
Did I ramble again?
No.
Did that make sense?
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, right. Man.
How about you, man?
Well, no, it's interesting you mentioned work because my current work situation, and I just realized this recently. Like, I noticed it kind of when I came on. I was like, oh, like this meeting was a little hostile, or this group of people mm-hmm. is a little hostile, and now things are turning up. It's like everything is super contentious. And so nobody wants to admit fault. And so when there's a mistake that happens, there's so much effort that it's a simple mistake that could be corrected with very little effort, but because, nobody wants to look bad, it's so many more wheels turn. If somebody would just say, Hey, this is me, I messed this up. Or, oh, you know what? Your idea is better. Let's just go with your idea. That sounds like a good idea. Yeah. Like, let's do that. Instead, it's no, well, they're in that group and that group owns this piece and we don't own that piece. And in fact, like, they're trying to own more of what we do. So we need to put our foot down here. And it's like, hey guys, if at the end of the day, the product is the product and our goal is to make this thing awesome, like, get out of your way and let's just go and work as a team. And it's just so interesting because of who my employer is, you know, their motto used to be, move fast and break things. You know, like that was the motto that they were founded on.
When you move fast, what happens? Right? Like, you make mistakes, and that's part of moving fast and breaking things. Yeah. Right. Like,
and so for me, it's just like, it's very, like, I'm really comfortable, and like, I feel like it's almost my responsibility in this context to just be, unapologetically me and just be like, when there's a mistake, be like, oh yeah, that was my mistake. Let me fix it. And when somebody else makes a mistake, be like, oh, I noticed you made a mistake there. It's cool. Like, here's how we can work around it, and not make a big deal about that mistake. But dude, I'll be totally honest with you. I had to spend 4 hours last Friday doing a root cause analysis on a mistake that someone else made in order to prove that our team didn't make the mistake. And Uday, let me tell you, to correct the mistake itself, it was literally a copy and paste of information in a cell onto another cell. Like, it was that fast. But we had to do, because there's contention around it, my team was like, hey Blake, we need you to do a root cause analysis to prove that this was not our mistake. 4 hours of my life.
Oh my God. The CYA culture in corporate America.
That's gross.
The cover your ass culture. It's like, I agree with you, man. I actually appreciate it more, significantly more. And I gain so much respect when I see people say, fuck, I'm sorry, guys. I stepped in the shit that time. Here's how I'll fix it. And here's how I'll fix it. Here's how I'll avoid this mistake happening again in the future. That's it.
Yeah.
That simple. Do that, you're the hero now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you do that over and over again, that's a different conversation, right? Like, but if you raise your hand, if you're the person that raise your hand and says, sorry guys, this is how I messed up, this is how I'm gonna fix it, this is how it's gonna avoid in the future.
Yeah.
You just went up the power rankings in my book, dude. You know what I mean? Like, and people just don't do that anymore. Because they're so afraid, right? Like,
yeah. And yeah, I will just say that, like, yeah, I mean, that is one of the most, it's so simple, but it is one of the most, the biggest benefits of training jiu-jitsu is that, one, when you're wrong, you are wrong unequivocally, right? It's like, when you're wrong, you got choked, bro. You died,
yep.
You know, you broke your arm. whatever it is, you know, you like, and so that's what's, you know, the beauty of the tap, right? Is that you can be really wrong and be like, okay, cool. And you can't sit there and be like, well, actually this is fucking Alberto's fault for not teaching me the escape. Yeah. No, dude. You're wrong. Everybody knows you're wrong, and you would never sit down and argue about that, right? And like, that's kind of the beauty of jujitsu, in that like, it is very black and white.
The mats don't lie.
It is very simple. The mats don't lie. And also, nobody cares. No one cares. And like, and because of that, you're able to get good.
Yeah.
Like, that's what allows you. The fact that it doesn't matter, but it matters a little bit, you know, is how you get good at jujitsu.
That's it.
Anyways.
I'm sorry that you had to waste 4 hours on something so ridiculous.
Billable hours, dude. Billable hours.
There you go. Never mind. I don't feel so bad anymore.
You know, yeah, that's the thing I tell myself, is I'm like, you know, I'm getting paid to do this right now, and this is what they're telling me to do, so I'm going to do it.
Bill away, baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of bills. Oh, wait, no, did I jump ahead?
Yeah.
I jumped ahead. My bad.
But that was pretty smooth. let's do a little snack attack. Hopefully you will not offend anyone this time. I don't think you offended anybody last time. I think you just offended yourself, but yeah.
I definitely offended myself. You know, this is what I get. This is the lesson I'm learning. This is what I get when I deviate away from Trader Joe's. I'm sorry, Trader Joe's. Take me back, guys. Sponsor us.
Yeah, for real though.
All right. So, am I correct in my assumption that you don't have a snack today?
I don't have a snack.
All right. Well, I came with two.
My God.
All right. Because, I'll tell you why, dude. Because I did not like the first snack.
Okay.
And so Van was going to the grocery store tonight, and she's like, "Hey, you're recording tonight. Do you want anything?" I was like, "I got a snack. Don't love it. If you find something, grab it. If not, no worries." She's like, "All right, got you." So, first snack is also, both these are from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
I'll have to edit out that sneeze that happened at 1 minute, 1 hour, and 6 minutes in. All right. So the first snack is the chocolate covered frozen bananas from Trader Joe's. Have you had these, Blake Osmeyer?
I have.
All right. So I put my score in the notes, so you already saw what I'm giving it. I'm giving it, I put a 6.9. I'm probably going to give it, like, honestly, I think I was being nice. I think I'm going to give it closer to like a 6.4. And the reason I say that is because it just, I don't like the consistency of it, right? Like, it feels like the banana is a little too, like, sounds stupid. It's too frozen. It's a frozen banana. They come in like chips. For those of you who haven't seen it, they come in like banana chips, right? So like, they're frozen, sliced bananas covered in chocolate. And I don't know. I just don't like the consistency of it. And I like it a little bit more when the banana is a little bit more melted.
Yeah.
It is also a healthier snack option, which I can appreciate. I give it like a 6.4. What do you think, Blake? What are you giving it?
This is one of the instances where it's if somebody's like, "Oh, we've got a healthy dessert," I would just rather not have dessert.
Okay.
Like, this is one of the instances where you're like, I've had this before. We bought it. And this literally happened before, where Becca and I were on the couch and we knew we had a box of those in the freezer. And I was like, "Oh man, I want something sweet. Like, what do we got?" And I went to the freezer and those are what we had. And I was like, "Nah, I just don't want anything.
I'm just going to bed.
I'll just be sad."
Do better, Trader Joe's. Do better. Yeah,
you know, we tried those. I think we tried those like 2022. Or 2021, okay, somewhere in there, where Owen was, it was like, we were trying to give him like a fun, sweet, healthy thing. And he was just not into it. He was like, "What is this?" Like, you know, this is like, it's not quite healthy and it's not quite tasty. It's like, that's the perfect example of like,
box.
Never split the difference, you know, like,
Yeah.
Both people are unhappy. So
I love that. Yeah. Wait, great callback.
Yeah.
Great callback, man. Well, I'll move on to item number two. Tell me if you've had these. These are the Trader Joe Ube tea cookies, purple yam shortbread cookies with powdered sugar. Have you had these, Blake?
We have
they
not.
They come in a giant purple.
But
go ahead.
We have had the same packaging, the ube pancakes.
So have we. All right. I want to hear your thoughts on the pancakes.
Okay. I can't. Here's the deal. Here's my problem. I think the pancakes are delicious. I think they're really good, but I can't tell if I'm making myself think that because they're like, they're fun and purple, or if they're actually really good.
Dude, I don't know if you're inside my head tonight or what's happening. I'll say it again. Same, dude.
Crazy.
Same.
Crazy.
I'm like, I feel like this should be good. It's like the mochi purple yam pancakes, right? Like,
yeah.
I was like, this should be really good. And in my head, I was like, okay, this is good. And in my head, I was also like, shouldn't this be better?
Yeah.
Like, is this it? Like, I think I like this. I think I should like this more.
Are these just pancakes, but purple?
Yeah. And, fuck. I told Van I really liked them when she made them. So I know she was, sorry, baby, they're okay. They're okay. So these tea cookies, it's probably the same ballpark to me as the bananas. I think I would probably go a little bit higher on these, maybe a 6-8.
Yeah.
And I just also don't like tea cookies. You know, I don't like, not my favorite, you know? So it's powdery. It's like crunchy. It's got a decent flavor to it. It's nice, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Hey,
if you will.
There you go.
Hey-o.
Right on, man. All right. Now, let's pay some bills.
Speaking of bills.
if you train jiu-jitsu or if you work out seriously at all, chances are you sweat a lot. And when you sweat, not only do you dehydrate yourself, but you also you release certain important nutrients, parts of your body that you need to replenish. Electrolytes, potassium, things like that. And so it's a really good idea for athletes, certainly grappling athletes, to add a little something to their water. In this case, the Fluid Tactical Electrolyte Drink Mix is phenomenal. This is a rapid hydration product. Tactical is an electrolyte replacement drink that helps you hydrate better than anything else. It replaces the materials that are lost in sweat without excess sugar or any added junk. It is a must-have for firefighters, construction workers, solar farms, oil fields, or anyone else working in heat or stress.
And is designed by professionals with real science. Tactical is a no-nonsense way of preventing cramps and fighting dehydration during those long, hot days on the job or really aggressive training sessions. It's nice because it also easily mixes in water. Simply add one packet to any 16-ounce bottle of water, shake it until it's dissolved.
It's made right here in our backyard in Los Angeles in the USA. The ingredients are all U.S. source and inspected for purity. Their mixing facility and packaging takes place in a GMP inspected and approved spot right here in Los Angeles, California. And it comes in 5 delicious fruity flavors. So you can either choose your favorite or you can buy a variety pack and get a few of each. I am a big fan of their berry flavor, by the way, but I also like just to grab that variety pack, which you can get at livefluid.com or on Amazon. Just search for Fluid Tactical Electrolyte Drink Mix.
Link in the description.
There you go.
You know what else has a link in the description, Blake?
I do, Uday. I was talking about getting darced earlier as a blue belt. And yeah. There's somebody else who...
I have a solution for your darce. It's Uday Malhotra's Elite No-Gi Fundamentals, brought to you by yours truly, Uday Malhotra. There's a special discount code available right now that will also be in the description, you guys.
All right. On that note, Uday, let's talk about pop culture for a minute, and then we'll try and wrap this up. What are you watching right now?
Man, you know, I talked about Van being on working on a big grant right now, so we haven't had much time to watch something together. So I've been like rewatching some stuff from the past, but there's a show on Hulu called Shogun, and it's been out for several weeks now, and I've only seen one episode, but my God, the show is amazing. It's so good. One episode in, I'm hooked.
It's being released at like episodically, right? The whole thing isn't out yet.
I believe so. I wouldn't know because I'm still in episode one.
Yeah. It's been recommended to me. You're the second person to recommend it. And I think I'm in. It looks super cool.
Episode one is like, wow. Like right off the bat.
Nice. I am watching a very uncharacteristically Blake show. This is an action show. I'm watching Fallout.
Dude. I've heard great things.
It's really good. It's actually based off of
fast pace.
Yeah, it's based off a video game, right? I think.
Yeah.
It's like a super fun post-apocalyptic, like super violent show that you just like. It just sucks you in, and it also takes place in a dystopian version of Los Angeles, so it's like kind of pre and post nuclear fallout, right? Fallout's the name of the show, so I'm not spoiling anything. So like a post fallout Los Angeles, Santa Monica area. I am such a nerd for that kind of stuff. Like if you show me a picture of a decaying Ferris wheel on the freaking Santa Monica pier, I'm like, all right, dude, I'm watching this for like the whole thing. Nice. So
Walton Goggins is in that, right?
Yeah.
That dude's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything that guy's in, man.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. Super, super entertaining. I highly recommend. Yeah. So takeaways from this
week. Where did you find it?
I believe it's on...
I think it's on Prime. Is it on Prime?
It's on Prime. Yeah. Amazon show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
Nice. Takeaways, my guy. What do you got?
I think, you know, this is so cheesy, but like everybody messes up. It's really only a mistake if you don't learn from the mess up, right? And so I think that's in jiu-jitsu and in parenting. You know, it's so cheesy, but
it's true.
In a tournament, you either win or you learn. There is no lose. And I think often it comes down to giving yourself the time and the space to like really allow yourself to reflect and learn. I think like that was the thing, you know, going back to the beginning of the episode about like the car thing, I was so frustrated in that moment. And I'm like, just so mad that it happened, that it was so hard for me to like learn from whatever the lesson could be. Right. And it was that it was like, we got to get dinner on the table. Then we got to start the bedtime routine. And then I'm like, when am I going to get this car to the dealership? I'm going to have to replace a panel. That's like a grand. Well, this is covered in our insurance. Well, like all these things are like running through your head. And instead it's like, hey man, just slow down next time. Just slow down. Like, you know, like that, like it's hard to give yourself the time to learn the lesson, but you need to. Otherwise, that's when it becomes a mistake, when you don't give yourself the space and time to learn.
100%. I think it's also, you know, when I think about my takeaway, it's like, you know, no one can, if you make an informed decision and it turns out to be the wrong one, no one's going to fault you for that, right? Like no one can really fault you for that. If you have a reason for making a decision that turns out to be wrong, well, you had a reason for it and you wholeheartedly believed it, right? So, you know, lean into your experience, lean into your information that you have available to you, and make the decisions you need to make, right?
Yeah.
And if it's wrong, you learn from it.
I think that I really like that idea, because it's like the difference between like a forced error and an unforced error, right? Like an unforced error is like, oh man, I just didn't think about it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, versus no, I thought about it and I considered all the options and I just made the wrong choice. But at least you can say like, oh, like I did take a moment to consider all the options, or I did really think about what I was doing. Because then it's like, yeah, then it's, you did your best. It's one thing to fail and not try, because then you should feel bad about two things. But to try and fail is totally fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right, man.
All right, guys.
If you want to get a hold of us, questions, concerns, comments, you just want to tell us we're handsome and doing a great job, drop us an email at grapplingwithfatherhoodpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at Blake of Today, and you can find Uday at Udjitsu and gorilla.den.bjj.
Nailed it.
Nice. Until next time, protect your necks.
Peace.